just tuned to yesterday, welcome. I'm your host, Mark Livonier, broadcasting programs from radio's golden era. In this hour, westerns. Later on, there's Trouble in Kansas on the Gunsmoke series from 1955. But right now, an episode of Fort Laramie with Raymond Burr in the lead. The CBS episode first heard on January 29, 1956. Their second in the series called Boatwright's Story.
Raymond Burr as Captain Lee Quince. Specially transcribed tales of the dark and tragic ground of the wild frontier. The saga of fighting men who rode the rim of empire. And the dramatic story of Lee Quince, Captain of Cavalry.
Dismount and unsaddle, pin grazing water. Dismount and unsaddle, pin grazing water. You there, Boatwright, you unbit that mount for your grazing this time.
Sure, Sergeant. I just going to.
Well, do it then. Dismount and unsaddle, pin grazing water.
We could make camp here, Boatwright. There's water.
Yeah, we could go hunting and fishing too, Vickers. Maybe bake some bread.
If you don't like the army, why didn't you stay in Louisville?
I was starving there, too. But at least in Louisville, I didn't have no Indians after my scalp.
You afraid of Indians, Boatwright?
Afraid? Come here. I'm going to tell you something.
What?
I'm going to get me an Indian.
What you talking about, Boatwright?
I'm going to get me an Indian, I said. I got to get me one.
Why?
Then I won't be scared no more.
All right, you go get the Indian. I'd rather stay scared.
Hey, give me a chew of your tobacco.
Here. But bite easy on it. It's all there is to payday.
Payday. Army's got 2/3 of my pay for the next 3 years.
Well, at 50 cents a day, that don't amount to such a whole lot, Boatwright.
You sure think funny, Vickers.
At least you ain't in the stockade. You ought to be grateful for that.
I should, huh? The reason I ain't in the stockade is because Captain Quince needs me out here. B Company's supposed to have 83 privates, full strength. I swear we're down to 60.
We are.
That's what I'm saying. So Captain Quince needs me worse than I need him.
Where'd he go anyway?
Well, you make a fine scout. You don't even see where your own company commander rode off to.
It ain't none of my business where he goes.
You know what you are? You're a dumb trooper. Somebody says, sit down, you sit down. Somebody says, stand up, you stand up. Somebody says, here's your home, you start taking off your shoes.
You're getting riled again, Boatwright.
Captain Quince rode up to that knoll over there looking for Lieutenant Sabert's patrol.
No, I don't see him.
He come back 5 minutes ago. He's walking down the line behind you right now.
Oh.
Looks tired, don't he?
Commanding a company that's got stockade soldiers like you'd make anybody tired, Boatwright.
Now, you watch your mouth.
Oh, can't you take a ribbon?
Hello, Captain.
How do you like the open air, Boatwright?
Fine, Captain. I need a good ride.
No complaints, then?
No, sir. None at all. I like it fine out here.
You better like it.
Yes, sir. Sure beats sitting around the stockade.
When you're in the stockade, you just sit around, Boatwright?
No, sir. But at least I didn't ride no horse out after wild Indians with a understrength troop.
You don't fool me, Boatwright. You'll never make a garrison soldier.
That's why I'm proud to be with you, Captain.
When we return to Fort Laramie, you go back into the stockade. You know that.
I always said I liked the Army, Captain.
Lieutenant Seibert's reporting, sir.
What'd you find, Mr. Seibert?
Well, sir, we rode over there where the smoke was.
And?
It was a homestead, Captain. Fired by the Sioux.
Did they leave anybody there, Mr. Seibert?
Man's still alive, sir. Corporal Mercer's with him. But the woman and the little girl, they're dead.
I see. What does the man say?
Nothing, sir. He's got no tongue.
Take charge of the troop, Mr. Seibert. Sergeant Gorse and I'll ride over there.
Yes, sir. And, Captain, take a look at this.
That's a Henry rifle, Mr. Seibert's latest model. If the Indians had gotten their hands on guns like that, why, we're in bad trouble. How is he, Corporal?
Bad, sir. They burned him some, too, but he's still conscious. Sure a slow way to die.
It's 100 miles to Fort Laramie, Captain.
You'll never live that long, Sergeant. Give me your revolver. You and Corporal Mercer start back. I'll catch up with you.
Yes, sir. Well, move out, Mercer.
Think we'll go after them Sioux, Gorse?
I'm a first sergeant, not a captain.
Well, I know, but you and Quince run this company.
He's Captain Quince to you, Mercer.
Oh, sure.
And he runs this company.
Well, sure.
Everything all right, Captain?
Everything's all right, Sergeant.
Hey, what was that?
You shut up and keep riding, Corporal.
You don't have to get so hard-nosed.
Shut up, I said.
Well, sure.
Sergeant.
Yes, sir.
When we get back, call in a burial party.
Yes, sir.
And see that those graves are canned.
Yes, sir.
And one other thing, Sergeant. Don't forget to pick up your revolver. That homesteader doesn't need it anymore. Captain Quince reporting, Major.
Sit down, Captain. I know you're mad because I ordered you back from chasing those Sioux last week, Lee, but...
You didn't see what they did to that homestead family.
I've seen their work before.
There'll be more of it if we don't stop them.
10 miles from this post, there's a reservation of 4,000 Sioux. An uprising there would be far more serious than your little band that's marauding under Yellowknife.
You have enough troops to patrol the reservation and still secure Fort Laramie here. Give me just half of B Company and I'll run down Yellowknife and his renegades.
My orders are to keep a constant watch in the reservation to secure Fort Laramie with all remaining troops.
Yellowknife is being supplied with rifles, Henry 44.
I know that.
Those are repeating rifles, Major.
I've reported that to Washington, Captain.
Whoever's smuggling those rifles has got to be stopped or every brave in the reservation will join Yellowknife in spite of your patrols.
I've received no change of orders, Captain.
We can't afford to wait, sir. Give me Sergeant Gorse and 3 men, and I'll find that gunrunner. We'll leave tonight, Major.
You'll not leave.
That a direct order?
It is.
Then, with the Major's permission... Mr. Seibert.
Yes, Captain?
I'm leaving the post at 6 o'clock this evening. I'm taking Sergeant Gorse with me. Until I return, you'll act in command of B Company. Any questions?
None that would be proper, sir.
You're learning, Mr. Seibert. I'll tell you where I'm going. There's a chief out in the reservation, an old friend of mine, Wild Dog. He's about 80, and he's pretty smart.
You're going to have a talk with him.
That's right.
If you'll excuse me, sir. Well, isn't it... pretty dangerous walking right in among all those Sioux.
We'll try to reach Wild Dog before anything happens.
But, Captain...
That's all, Mr. Seibert.
Yes, sir.
Mm-hmm.
drop your gun belt across your saddle, Sergeant.
You mean that, Captain?
A revolver wouldn't do you much good if these Sioux decide they want us where we're safer unarmed.
All right, sir.
All right, let's move out.
Sure wish I had me at least a Bowie knife, Captain. I don't trust any of these devils.
It's late. Most of them are asleep.
4,000 Sioux in this camp. They ain't all asleep.
Oh, they're being watched, all right.
Some young buck could get his first coup feather by spearing us.
You wouldn't want to stand in the way of a man becoming a brave, would you, Sergeant?
Captain, we're being stopped.
I see him. Keep walking.
There's only one brave. We can handle him.
Leave him to me, Sergeant.
Yes, sir.
Oni oya.
Diary, wild dog nya.
Ishli ai.
Ilya. Zo valya. Ayazo. Let's move, Sergeant. But keep an eye on him.
Still standing there, sir.
I told him I'm a friend of wild dogs. Luckily, he's from the same clan, White Fox. There it is. See that medicine pool over there?
With a white skin on it?
That's Wild Dog's Lodge. Wait out here, Sergeant.
Ho, oyo, laya zia.
Nice, Lizo. Come in, my son. Sit down.
It's been a long time since we talked, Wild Dog.
A long time. And now you come because of Yellow Knife.
Yellow Knife is leading your young men into war with my people.
There are many clans among the Sioux. I am chief only of White Fox.
What clan is Yellow Knife?
Yellow Knife is of Two Moon clan.
But there are White Fox braves with him.
Yes, I cannot stop them. I remember what it was like when I was young.
It was different when you were young, Wild Dog. You had a chance then. But now, they have no chance.
They have many rifles.
They have a few, Wild Dog, but the white man, the cavalry, has thousands of rifles. In the end, the Sioux cannot win. You are a wise man. You know this is true.
Yes. You are right.
Yellow Knife and his braves will be caught and punished. Some of them will die. But if I don't stop his supply of rifles, many more of your people will die.
You want to know where rifles come from?
Tell me where Yellow Knife meets the white man who's supplying them. I'll do the rest. You'll be saving lives, Wild Dog. Sioux lives.
For the sake of my people, I tell you. A place north of here. A place you call Bright Canyon.
Bright Canyon. Well, when it's over, I'll come back and we'll smoke the pipe.
Yes. If you come back.
If I come back. Captain Quint's reporting, sir.
I hear you left the post last night, Captain.
Yes, sir.
Well, you never were much of a garrison soldier, were you?
No, sir.
You saw your friend Wild Dog, I suppose.
Yes, sir.
Well, Lee, I have new orders from Washington this morning.
Yes?
My orders to patrol the reservation and to secure Fort Laramie still stand. We're not to go after Yellow Knife. But the importance of the Henry Rifles is recognized, and we're to put a stop to it.
Yes, sir.
Can you do it?
I can.
All right. Take half of B Company only.
Yes, sir.
You'll pass the head of your column through the main gates of the post 1/2 hour before Reveille tomorrow morning.
Right, sir.
And remember, Captain Quince, your orders are to stop that gun smuggler, not to run down Yellow Knife. Any questions?
No, sir.
Then move out.
Sergeant Gord?
Yes, sir.
Sergeant, ride out here with me and take a look at these tracks.
One shod pony and the rest is mules, Captain.
And they're not Indians, are they?
No, sir.
And they're headed straight for the rim of that canyon ahead.
Bright Canyon, Captain?
Wild Dog wasn't lying. Take five men right out ahead of Corporal Mercer's point. Make a reconnaissance of the north rim. If it's clear, send a runner back.
Yes, sir.
Tell the point to swing north and to dismount from the cover of those trees below the crest.
Right, sir.
Move out. I think we've found our man, Mr. Syberts. He'll be in that canyon up ahead. Sergeant Gorse is scouting the north rim of the canyon. If it's clear, we'll hide in those trees just below it. And then we'll wait.
Wait for what, sir?
Why, we'll catch him in the act, Mr. Syberts, when Yellowknife comes for his rifle.
But, Captain...
It's not my fault if Yellowknife gets in the way when we move in on that gun smuggler.
No, sir.
Mr. Syberts, pass the word to space out. Stagger the odd pile to the left. We're raising too much dust.
Hey, boat right. What are you doing over here, Vickers? Go on back to your post.
Oh... There's nothing happening down there in the valley. Huh. He's some gun smuggler. Just sits around in his cabin. What's the matter with Captain Quince, anyway? Half a troop against one man, and we hide around watching him for 2 days.
You can't figure nothing, Vickers. We're waiting for Yellowknife.
You mean we're going to fight them Indians?
As soon as they show up?
You scared, Bootrat?
All I need is to kill me an Indian, and I won't be scared no more.
Yeah, me too. I think.
Who's throwing that rock?
It's Gorse and the captain.
Well, get down there. He signaled to you.
Oh, man, I'll catch it now.
What are you doing away from your post, Vickers?
I couldn't see nothing where I was. I was wondering if Boatwright could, Sergeant.
You can be shot for leaving your post at a time like this, Vickers.
Yes, sir, Captain.
You're risking the life of every man in this troop. I'll get back where you belong.
Yes, sir, Captain.
Captain Boatwright wants us.
All right, come on.
The end of the canyon, sir. Look, there they come.
Yellowknife.
How many braves you figure he's got with him, Gorse?
Hard to say yet, sir. Maybe 30?
They got a bunch of horses, too.
Yep. That's to pay for the rifles.
Captain, I can see more than 30 Sioux down there. Must be nigh under 40.
Yeah.
There's that dirty gun runner now out talking with Yellowknife.
I wish we had Hole of B Company here.
Sergeant?
Yes, sir.
Take Boatwright and move out about 300 yards west of here. When you're ready, I want you to ride straight down into the canyon.
Why? Shut up,
Your orders are to find out if they're really trading for guns down there.
But, Captain...
If you run into any trouble, I'll have to help you out of it, that's all.
I understand, sir. Come on, Boatwright, let's move.
Well, of all the...
Shut
trees...
up.
And tell Mr. Syberts there I want to see him.
Right, sir.
Captain?
Mr. Syberts, I think those Sioux down there are trading for Henry rifles. Sergeant Gorse and Boatwright are going to ride down and find out.
You mean they're going alone, sir?
They are. It'd sure be a fight if we appeared in force. Might even look like I was trying to run Yellowknife down.
But they'll be killed, sir.
Well, I can't let that happen. If they're attacked, we'll just have to ride in. It'll be a rescue mission, Mr. Syberts.
I understand, Captain.
All right, now get back to the troop, pass the word to saddle and mount. Space out to 60 paces between mounts. It will make us look full strength.
Right, sir.
And Mr. Seibert, I'll shoot the first man who crosses the ridge before I give the signal. Pass the order and then come back here. Any questions?
No, sir.
Move out.
Troops ready, Captain.
Just in time. There go Gorse and Boatwright.
They'll be seen any minute, sir.
Yeah. Let's get back. Get mounted, Mr. Sabert.
Yes, sir.
When we reach the cabin, you lead the troops. I'll stop for the gunrunner.
As skirmishers, ho!
Skirmishers, ho!
At the trot, ho!
With him up there.
I never seen him, Captain.
Well, he must be in the cabin here. I'm going in after him.
I'll go in with you, sir.
No, you stay with the troop. They've chased him far enough. And get those stolen horses rounded up.
Right, sir.
You're all through, mister. Come out of there.
Oh, you ain't going to hang me.
Come out with your hands up. You'll get a trial.
Hanging's bad. I ain't going to hang.
It's your choice, mister. Come out or I'll kill you right there.
I'll take my chances.
Suits me.
Still running, Captain. But we killed some of them.
What about Yellowknife?
He's dead, sir. Right over there. Private Boatwright killed him.
That Boatwright lying over there too, Mr. Sabert?
Afraid so, sir. He took a bullet after he got Yellowknife.
Sergeant Gorse has some men rounding up the horses, Mr. Sabert. Reform the rest of the troop. Take care of the wounded. Detail 6 men for a burial party.
Yes, sir.
Mercer! Over here!
Hello, Boatwright.
Captain, sir.
What can I do for you?
Nothing, Captain. I'm all shot up. There's nothing anyone can do.
That was Yellowknife you killed, Boatwright.
I always wanted to get me Indian, Captain. I sure never figured it'd be Yellowknife.
You did fine, Boatwright.
But here's something I took off Yellowknife. You keep it for me. You know what it is.
Yeah. Yeah, I sure do.
I feel all wet inside, Captain.
I'm sorry, Boatwright.
All right. I ain't scared.
Of course not.
Tell them goodbye for me, Captain. All of them.
Captain Quince reporting, sir.
Oh, I've just finished going over your report, Captain.
Yes, sir.
I'm not sure on reading it whether you deliberately disobeyed orders or not. Would you care to clarify that point?
Major Daggett, did you ever see one of these?
That's a scalp.
Private Boatwright took it off a Yellowknife, Major. It's a woman's scalp. A young woman.
Get rid of it.
Yes, sir.
Captain Quince, I'm reporting to Washington that the gun smuggler has been destroyed, but that you were attacked by Yellowknife during the operation and were forced to defend yourself.
Thank you, Major.
That's all, Captain. Oh, Captain.
Yes, sir?
Just one more thing. In regard to your recommendation for a posthumous medal for Private Boatwright.
Yes, sir.
Washington might question a report that recommended an honor for one of the soldiers who actually brought on Yellowknife's attack. So, for the good of the company, I'd suggest...
That's all right, Major. Boatwright would understand. He was a real soldier. A line soldier.
Fort Laramie is produced and directed by Norman McDonald and stars Raymond Burr as Lee Quince, Captain of Cavalry, with Vic Perrin as Sergeant Gorse. The script was specially written for Fort Laramie by John Meston, with sound patterns by Bill James and Ray Kemper. Musical supervision by Amerigo Marino. Featured in the cast were Harry Bartell, Bob Sweeney, Sam Edwards, Jack Moyles, Jan Arvin, Joe Cranston, and Lou Krugman.
Company, attention! Dismissed.
Next week, another transcribed story of the Northwest frontier and the troopers who fought under Lee Quince, Captain of Cavalry. People keep saying that conversation is a lost art, but meanwhile, proof keeps popping up that they're wrong. All that's needed is a good conversationalist. And one of the best is a man who's also rather well known as a singer and an actor, a man named Bing Crosby. You can hear Bing holding forth on almost every subject under the sun, lighting up the subject with his own easy and humorous point of view each evening, Monday through Friday, on his own show over most of these same stations. And, oh yes, you'll hear plenty of wonderful singing, too. After all, it's the Bing Crosby Show.
Fort Laramie, on Tuned To Yesterday, the second in a series of about 60 programs from January 29, 1956 on CBS. The broadcast co-starred actor Harry Bartell, who portrayed Mr. Seiberts, and he was one of CBS Radio's busier radio actors. In that same month of that episode alone, he was part of the daily Yours Truly Johnny Dollar series, and in addition to helping kick off the Fort Laramie show, he was also heard in two bit parts on the Gunsmoke series on CBS. You're listening to an hour of Radio Westerns on Tuned To Yesterday. I'm your host, Mark Levonier. And now we hear Harry Bartell again as co-star on Gunsmoke. He portrays Jack Raven in this episode, dated October 16, 1955, from CBS, called Trouble in Kansas.
Around Dodge City and in the territory on West, there's just one way to handle the killers and the spoilers, and that's with a U.S. Marshal and the smell of gun smoke. Gun Smoke, starring William Conrad. The transcribed story of the violence that moved west with young America. And the story of a man who moved with it.
I'm that man, Matt Dillon, United States Marshal.
The first man they look for and the last they want to meet. It's a chancy job, and it makes a man watchful and a little lonely.
Matt, got time for a drink?
Well, I'll go with you, Doc.
Good, good. And the Long Branch is closest. Let's go in there.
Okay.
Some people say it doesn't look good for a doctor to be seen in a saloon.
Especially in the daytime.
Then you believe it, too.
Oh, no, not me. I look on doctors as almost human.
Almost human, well... Well, that's mighty charitable of you. I'll think of that the next time you come crawling around with your throat cut or with a bullet in you.
You'll feel better when you get your drink, Doc.
Yeah, I'll feel better when I talk to Kitty.
Hello, Doc. Matt.
Hello, Kitty.
It's a pleasure to see you, Kitty. It's a real pleasure.
Well, thanks, Doc.
Sam, a bottle and two glasses.
Okay, Doc.
I'm buying the lady a drink.
You sure you haven't had enough already, Doc?
Oh, now, just because you're not used to men who act like gentlemen.
I think he's talking about me, Kitty.
Yeah, I figured that. What have you two been arguing about this time?
We've only been working up to an argument, Kitty.
Well, there's somebody else here who seems to be doing that.
Oh?
Huh?
A cowboy at the end of the bar.
Oh, what about him?
I heard him telling Sam he's got a pack horse outside, loaded with ammunition.
Well, there's no harm in that, is there?
He said it's to kill Kansans with, Doc.
Well, what did he mean, Kitty?
I don't know, Matt. But he's awful mad about something.
I'll be back in a minute.
Oh, no. Be careful.
Hello. My name's Dillon. I'm the marshal here.
My name's Jim Hoyt, and I wish I'd never heard of Kansas.
Oh, where are you from, Hoyt?
Dena River.
Texas, huh?
Texas.
You staying here long?
Long enough to finish this drink. And since you're so nosy, I'll tell you. I'm with 9 other Texans. We got 2,000 head of cattle 6 days' drive from here. They're branded Cross R and Jack Raven's Trail Boss. Anything else you want to know?
Yeah, there's something else. Have all of the men in that outfit got their backs up like you have?
Don't you worry none about us, Marshal. We'll handle things.
With all that ammunition they sent you for, what's going on down there anyway?
Nothing a few Texans can't take care of.
Why don't you want to tell me about it, Hoyt?
Because I don't trust you no more than I trust any Kansan.
Then why don't you finish your drink? Because I'm going to ride back with you. Jim Hoyt didn't like it much, but I got Chester and we saddled up and rode south with him. Nobody said a word the whole day. And that night, Chester and I spelled each other, keeping awake so as Hoyt wouldn't slip out on us. He knew what we were doing, and of course he just stretched out on the ground and enjoyed a good night's rest. It was late the next afternoon, soon after we'd crossed the Cimarron, that we ran into the Cross R herd. Bedding down for the night. We rode around it, up to the chuck wagon fire, and dismounted.
Jack Raven's a trail boss, Marshal, and that's him leaning against that wagon studying.
Now, let's go talk to him, Chester.
And you tell him how you got here so he'll know who to get mad at.
I'll do that, Hoyt.
Well, them's the first word Hoyt said in the last 10 miles.
I guess he's been saving his strength.
What for?
I don't know. Maybe the boss here will tell us.
Yeah, if he don't shoot us first. He looks downright unfriendly to me.
Jack Raven?
That's me.
My name's Matt Dillon. This is Chester Proudfoot.
How you do?
Howdy.
I'm a U.S. Marshal, Raven.
Dodge?
Uh-huh. This your first time up the trail?
First time for any of us.
Now, Jim Hoyt didn't tell me much. He didn't want me down here at all.
And why'd you come?
I got curious about that ammunition you sent him to Dodge for.
Some law against it?
Yeah, that depends on what you aim to use it for.
We aim to kill Kansans with it, Marshal.
Uh-huh. You got any particular Kansans in mind?
I ain't particular.
You told me that's your first trip up here, the first trip for any of you, huh?
What's that got to do with it?
You lost many cattle?
I've lost all I'm going to.
How many?
Some 20, 30 head.
Stampede?
Two of them.
How'd they get started?
Men? Men out there waving blankets they set fire to in the night. And they wasn't Injuns, neither. We seen them, but we couldn't chase them or go shooting at them, or we'd have lost the whole herd.
Now, why did you send Hoyt for ammunition? You gonna start shooting next time?
We're short of ammunition, Marshal. Next time it happens, we thought maybe we'd some of us take off a few days to do a little hunting.
I see.
I want to get this herd to Dodge. I want to get it sold. Then we're riding back this way.
And shoot anybody you come across, is that it?
Yeah, like I said, I ain't particular, Marshal. Not about Kansans, I ain't.
Tell me something, Raven. Did you ever hear of Jayhawkers?
No.
They're outlaws, Raven. They're murderers, criminals. They're men who started riding on the Missouri border during the war, and they got the taste of blood in their mouths. Now it's like they got no place to go. So they're out after anything in sight. They cause a lot of trouble.
And why don't you stop them?
We try. Don't forget, the ordinary Kansan hates Jayhawkers as much as you do.
But what do they want? What good's it do them to stampede my herd?
You'll find out what they want. They'll let you know. I want to stay here to help you when they do.
I don't know whether I trust you or not.
Well, I guess you'll have to find that one out, too, Raven.
Yeah, I'll find it out. I got work to do now. I don't know if the cook will feed any Kansas men, but you can go ask him.
What
is it, Chester?
It's almost daylight.
Oh, yeah. Then I guess we better get up.
I declare I didn't hear a thing all night. I slept right through.
Well, if it'd been a stampede, you'd have heard it, Chester.
Maybe them Jayhawkers just quit.
Maybe.
Mr. Dillon.
Yeah, what?
Look yonder, riding that horse.
That's Jim Hoyt.
Well, where's his clothes? And look, he's all bloodied up. They're having to help him get down off his horse. There's Jack Raven.
Yeah.
What in the world do you suppose happened?
He didn't get those marks on his back from a fall.
Take a look at Jim Hoyt, Marshal. Take a good look.
Where'd they catch you, Hoyt?
How come you know anybody caught me, Marshal?
That's a good question. How do you know?
This has happened before. It's one of their methods.
Filthy Kansas.
Jayhawkers.
Mighty fancy name for a bunch of murdering devils.
You were on guard and they sneaked up on you. Is that the way it happened?
They stripped me and flogged me.
Didn't they give them a message for me?
They want money, huh?
I got 2,000 head of cattle, Marshal. If I pay them Jayhawkers $2 a head, they say there won't be no more trouble.
By sundown. They want that money by sundown.
You're gonna pay it, Raven?
I'd rather lose a whole herd. We'll ride guard in pairs tonight. There won't be any more beatings. I hope there's no shooting. Them cattle are ready to run most anything by now.
We'd like to ride with you, Raven.
I might trust you, Marshal. I don't know. But the men wouldn't. They'd never stand for it.
All right. So we're going to be around. We're not leaving here.
And you better keep pretty close to camp. You might get yourself killed if you stray very far.
I took Raven's advice, and Chester and I stayed with the chuck wagon all that day. But when the herd was bedded down about dusk, we saddled up and rode out of camp. Raven had his men standing guard by twos, all right, and he had the herd lying in a plain that apparently nobody could approach without being seen a mile or so off. We scouted the land till dark, and just as the moon was coming up, we found what I'd been hoping for. A deep gully about a half a mile from the herd. The contour of the land made it difficult to see unless you were almost on top of it. And I picked it as the most likely approach the Jayhawkers had used. We hid our horses at the bottom and then climbed back out.
That's an awful long gully, Mr. Dillon. Them Jayhawkers could ride out of it most anywhere for a mile or so.
Yeah, they could, Chester, but right in here is where it's closest to the herd. Oh, we better lie down.
You know, I've been thinking, Mr. Dillon, there's only two of us. Might go hard if we have to shoot it out with maybe a dozen men.
Well, I'm hoping there won't be any shooting at all.
Yeah, we're most half a mile from that herd. Hadn't ought to bother him very much.
It'd bother him. Like Raven said, those cattle are ready to run at anything.
Well, if we can't shoot, how are we going to stop them Jayhawkers?
Well, most of that kind are cowards, Chester. If we surprise them, maybe we can scare them into dropping their guns.
You believe that?
Well, I'm gambling on it anyway. If we start a stampede by getting into a gun battle over here, those Texans aren't going to treat us any better than they would the Jayhawkers.
They sure are a hard-headed lot, ain't they?
Yeah, they got some cause to be, Chester.
Well, they got no cause to be.
Shh. Listen.
Somebody in the gulch. They're right down there, Mr. Dillon. They'll come climb it out in a minute.
Not if we're on top of them. Come on. Don't do any shooting unless I do, huh?
No, I won't.
Quiet now.
No. Too much moon to ride over there. We'll stampede them from here. All we gotta do is spread out along this gulch and start shooting.
Uh-huh.
It don't matter whether you hit cows or Texans.
Well, let's spread out a little, Joseph. We'll crawl right up on top of them.
All right, Joseph.
Come on.
No. We're a long ways off. If we set up enough rifle fire, them cattle will stampede sure. They'll have their hands so full chasing them, they won't have time to worry us.
Yeah, well, I think
you men are covered. Get your hands up.
You better do what he says. We're all around you.
That's right, men. He'll kill us anyway.
No! All right, Chester, get it to him!
One of them's getting away, Mr. Dillon. Will we chase him?
No, let him go, Chester. We got the other three.
They sure did put up a fight, didn't they?
Yeah. I kind of misjudged their being cowards and quitting.
Listen.
Yeah, it's the cattle. We started another stampede after all.
Come on, we better go help them.
No, they're running the other way. We'd never get anywhere near them.
I bet them Texans is going to be mighty mad.
Yeah, and mostly at us. We left the Jayhawkers right where they'd died.
rode slowly back to camp. Nobody was there but the cook, so we sat down and waited. We waited 3 or 4 hours before any riders showed up. And when they did, they weren't exactly friendly. They stood around at a distance and watched us as though they were guarding a couple of prisoners. Finally, Jim Hoyt walked over to us.
It was you done all that shooting, Marshal.
Some of it, yeah.
I was shooting, too.
Well, the men wants to hang you.
Oh, is that so?
We seen you riding around, didn't know what you was up to, but we sure found out, didn't we, man?
All right, now you just look here.
There's four of us here now.
You're going to put up a fight?
I don't blame you for being mad, Hoyt. Now the rest of you. But that's no excuse to be talking about lynching anybody.
We ain't talking, Marshal. We're going to do it.
Wouldn't you like to know why we were doing the shooting?
We know all we need to know. Now unbuckle them guns, both of
you. Use your head, Hoyt.
It's Jack Raven.
Raven ain't going to stop us.
What's going on here?
We're about to hang us a couple of Kansans, Raven.
Yeah, that's what I figured.
And don't aim to have no interference.
All right. I won't give you any.
Good.
I want to tell you something first, though.
Say it out.
I was kind of curious about it, so I rode over to where those two did all that shooting. You know what I found?
A bunch of empty cartridges.
I found 3 dead men, Hoyt, laying in a gully.
What?
Now, I don't know what these here Jayhawkers are supposed to look like, but them 3 men I found, that's how they ought to look.
This for true, Reeve?
It's true.
Well, I guess I've been a little hot-headed.
I didn't trust the marshal either. Not at first.
Well, then, you done our work for us, Marshal. It was you, too. Found them devils and faced them.
Oh, forget it, Hoyt. It's over. I don't think you'll be bothered anymore.
See, Marshal, me and Hoyt and the men, we've had a bad trip. When we get to Dodge, we'll maybe want to kick up our heels a little.
Well, short of gunplay, Raven, this is one outfit that can hurrah Dodge all at once. Now, when do you get there? The first bottle's on me.
Gunsmoke, produced and directed by Norman McDonald, stars William Conrad as Matt Dillon, U.S. Marshal. Our story was specially written for Gunsmoke by John Meston, with music composed and conducted by Rex Corey. Sound patterns by Tom Hanley and Ray Kemper. Featured in the cast were Lawrence Dobkin, Barney Phillips, and Harry Bartell. Harley Bear is Chester, Howard McNear is Doc, and Georgia Ellis is Kitty. The makers of Chesterfield and L&M filters salute the National Safety Council on their 43rd National Safety Congress, which is being held in Chicago, October 17th through October 21st. listen to Gunsmoke again on radio next week at this same time. Transcribed for Chesterfield.
Gunsmoke, on Tuned to Yesterday from October 16, 1955 on CBS. And that wraps up this hour of Westerns on Tuned to Yesterday. Be sure to be with us next time for more great programs from radio's golden age. Until our next hour together, I'm Mark LeVonier. It's been a pleasure.